Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. As you wait for Jesus to move in your life or for His return, the Lord wants you and I to be faithful. Some call that faithfully waiting and serving the Lord until the next step or next phase of life begins. It's so essential for all of us to remember that faithfulness is our part and the results are God's part. Simply knowing that will help you from feeling the pressure of the results and help you enjoy the process of serving the kingdom of heaven. When will the Lord return? We don't know. When we can start joyfully serving Him? Today. Here's Pastor Jim to conclude his message. The Lord is coming. Be patient.
So we don't know how long we have, so we want to be strengthened on the inner man, the inner woman, developing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But in order to do that, we're going to have the right priorities. That doesn't mean you can never relax. It doesn't mean you can never have fun. But we need to have our priorities right. All of this happens through, again, the spiritual disciplines as we work, as we fight against doubt, distraction, as we do all of that, God provides growth. You might say this is a fixed heart. It is a determined heart, a persistency to stay faithful. That is, to me, that is an incredible word for today, that your heart, that my heart would be fixed, would be determined, would be relentlessly persistent, that we are going to stay faithful today. Not only are we not going to go backwards in our faith, which is happening to many people right now, we're actually going to turn up the volume. We're going to move forward in our faith. This is a call to a consistent faith and a consistent faithfulness, battling hard. It's a hard battle against our hearts that drift so easily from consistency to inconsistency. It takes a lot more work to be consistent than it does to be inconsistent, doesn't it? But we have to fight that battle. This is the opposite of what James talked about earlier of being double-minded in chapter 1. Like the farmer is fixed on growth and on the harvest, we must be fixed on a sustained commitment to walking in the way of Jesus, not walking with our hearts that so easily pull us to self-indulgence. I think of the scriptures, one of the most, one of those verses that really lights my soul is Luke 9:51. It says this, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him," for Jesus, "to be received up." His ministry is over. It's time for the cross, the resurrection, and ascension to heaven, "that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." In other words, Jesus had a personal resolve to do the will of God. He had a personal resolve to die on the cross in our place for our sins, and nothing was going to stop him. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When he says, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, another version says, giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, busying yourself with the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that your labor will not be in vain. Why? We talked about it earlier. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is looking forward to talk to you about, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. So why should we do all this? Well, let's go back to verse 8. He tells us at the end of verse 8, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, some of your versions say the coming of the Lord is near. So, on the one hand, we have two things kind of going here. On the one hand, we have the second coming, the coming of the Lord, but we also have a teaching about the kingdom of God, that it is at hand, that it is near. Jesus and the other apostles taught the same thing, which has led many people, Bible skeptics, to conclude that they were wrong. Let me explain to you why I disagree with them. James right now, his purpose, and you always have to look at the purpose of why a Bible writer is writing and saying what he's saying. His purpose is so followers of Jesus in times of trouble do not lose heart as they confidently wait for the Lord's return. So the Bible critics, this is kind of how their thing goes. They're really not so critical of the second coming. The reason they're not so critical of the second coming is that would require them to disprove Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. Now, there are many people who don't believe that, but there are not that many people who have very, very good evidence in their attempts to prove that. But where the critics claim the Bible is wrong, that Jesus was wrong, that the apostles were wrong, including James were wrong, is the Lord's coming when it says it is at hand or it is near. Some people say that means that they were teaching it would happen in the first century. Now, if you believe in the doctrine of imminency, it means that we believe that the Lord could come at any moment. And so believers all throughout history have believed that the Lord could come at any moment. But this verb is written in what we call the perfect tense, and it means that it is an ongoing result in the present. God is near in His time. He is close in His time. He is at hand in His time. Psalm 90, verse 4, Moses wrote these words, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." Another version says, like a few hours in the night. That's what 1,000 years is like to God. 2 Peter 3:8-9, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing." Another version says, don't let this escape you. You got to remember this, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack. Doesn't mean that he's not saying the Lord's not a slacker. The Lord is not slow, or the Lord is not delaying concerning His promise, as some count slackness, as some count slowness. But why is the Lord near but not here, but is long-suffering? Some versions say patient toward us. Why? Not willing that any should perish, not willing that anyone should go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. This provides really another reason why we must strengthen our hearts, we must strengthen our inner man because of God's timing. At times, whether it's the second coming or fixing a situation or an answer to prayer, life can seem like an endless delay. But Jesus wants us to keep trusting, James wants us to keep trusting the Lord when the Lord's timing seems slow, and serving even when the results are not what we want. Now, clearly, the last days began with the cross and resurrection, the ascension into heaven, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, but they won't end until Jesus returns in glory. So for now, they are close and near. But the length of the last days is unknown. Mark 13, 32, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So what should we do? Verse 33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." You don't know. None of us know. It is the next event in salvation history. So what does it mean for the people that Jesus is writing to? Well, it's the same as it means to us, to live as if the second coming could come at any time. The Lord being at hand or near is not the same as it will definitely be soon. It means at any time. Let me give you an example that happens to me, and my poor wife has to deal with this sometimes. Sometimes someone will say to me, I really need to speak to you urgently. And maybe it's a Sunday after church, or very rarely on a Wednesday night, but a lot of times it's a Sunday after church. And so I'll say to them, I have to call one person on the way home. After I talk to them, I'll call you on the way home. So I'm driving home and I'm making pastoral calls on the way home, and I pull up in front of my house. So I'm near to the house, but I'm still on the phone with the person. I'm at hand, if you will, but I'm not in the house. And so maybe one of my kids is over, something like that, and they'll go, you know, Dad's in the driveway. When's he coming in? And Pam's like, well, he's probably on the phone. So Dad's near, but we don't know when he's coming in. In the same way, the Lord is ready to come in whenever he wants. It's just not the right time yet. In other words, things right now are in place, and now we are just waiting on God's timing for the day of judgment and the day of salvation. We talked about it just in Peter, because God wants people to come to faith in him. That's why he is delaying. And how many of us, if he'd come 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 10 years ago, wouldn't have made it? And the fact that the Lord could come at any moment, that should affect our decisions regarding the entirety of our lives, including my non-Christian friend who's watching, including turning to God and putting your trust in Jesus so you can have the forgiveness of sins, so you can be an adopted child of God, so you can go to heaven and live eternally with God. So in the meantime, the people he's writing to in the churches and all of our churches that believe the Bible, how is the church to live in light of this as we worship and serve together? Look what he says, verse 9, "Do not grumble against one another." Now, why in the world would he say that? I mean, does he really think that church people actually grumble? Does he think that church people might actually grumble against one another? He says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren," those are Christians, "lest you be condemned." What? Another version says, "lest you be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." You know, so much of the church, when it comes to the second coming, is so consumed with the timing of the second coming, they don't really realize that the idea of "until the Lord comes," we're waiting until the Lord comes, actually connects our waiting to our purpose in life, into what we're doing. Followers of Jesus are to live in community with one another as if, now some people will say, as if today were the last day and Jesus were to come. I would even take it a step further, that we are to live in community with one another. Friends, this is why you need a church, or you need to be involved in a local group of believers. Now we have lots of different ways that people can do it. You know, with the pandemic and stuff like that, people are doing it online and in groups and stuff like that. But we are to be involved in community, in life on life with one another, as if the day of Christ's return has already happened. In other words, we are now in a practice run for heaven, grumbling, complaining, inner bitterness, resentment is completely inconsistent with that. Completely inconsistent with that. Such behavior is the exact opposite of being joyful, thankful, hopeful, and loving. Grumbling, complaining, let's just call it what it is. It's sinful. Whining and complaining is the exact opposite of being like the patient farmer waiting on the Lord. You know, it's no secret. We all know it. We all get it. It happens to all of us that people can be irritable. And people also, this is very common, like to blame their problems on the people they can. To some people, you can't blame your problems on. You go into your boss, you blame all your problems on him, you might find yourself looking for a job. But often people blame their problems on people at church. You say, why would they blame their problems on people at church? The same reason they blame their problems on the people they're married to or on their family, because they can. Because they can do it and they can get away with it. And they can also have others join in. And if it doesn't work out, they go, we don't care about you. We're just going to the church down the street. Is that how you value the relationships you have with people in your church? That you're just going to zip down the street? I'll just zip down the street down to there. And then you'll do the same thing there. And then go over there. Go over there. That's not right. So you grumble against the people you can get away with it, the people you can have others join in. But ultimately, you're really grumbling against God. Sadly, many people blame the church for the misery their sin and attitudes have produced. That's just someone who's deceived. If that's you, no wonder you're still fighting this misery. No wonder nothing's ever right. No wonder nothing's ever good enough, because you're looking in the wrong place. Our poor relationship with God is revealed in our sinful speech. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're impatient with God, your mouth is going to betray your impatience. Now, this doesn't mean we don't get together to discuss issues. Now, it does mean we overlook a lot of little things. But it doesn't mean we don't get together to discuss issues, but it does mean we don't gossip and gripe. We go to the person that we want to speak to. The strange thing is that such people think that they are righteous, but they're really self-righteous and divisive. And James is hitting us right between the eyes as he's been doing this whole letter and saying this stuff is wrong. And what's really sad is people who are like this is how many followers they can get to come into their griping and to come into their complaining and to their grumbling world. They can get a lot of people to come into the world, and just even worse than how many people they can get to come into that world is how quickly they can get them to come in. Somehow grumbling seems to be a cause that a lot of people love to get behind. You say, oh, come on, how serious could all of this be, Pastor Jim? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is talking about the people who wandered the wilderness with Moses. And he says this, verse 7 through 11, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, you're sitting there going, well, check, I'm not an idolater. Well, we might be able to debate that, but we'll give you that one. I'm not an idolater. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. That means they died. And you're like, well, not me. I'm not committing sexual immorality. Nor let us tempt Christ. You're like, no, not me. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. You're like, not me at all. I'm doing good, Pastor Jim. He's not talking about me. Verse 10, nor complain. What? Did he just throw complainers in with idolaters, sexually immoral, and people who tempt Christ? He says, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Oh, man. James' motivation is that we not grumble, lest we be condemned, because he says, behold, the judge is standing at the door. I mean, he's right there. Here's the door. He's right there. He's listening. He hears our grumbling. See, this is a mistake that so many people make. We make the mistake in believing that judgment, if we even believe in it, is far off. But he's at the door. He's near. He's at hand. You see, this is something I know we don't like to talk about, but the reality is this, that we are all just one heartbeat away, or lack of heartbeat away, from the judge. He's standing at the door. James is saying it is time to repent. It is time to change our ways. You say, but Pastor Jim, you're always telling us that followers of Jesus have the forgiveness of sins. Yes, but the scripture teaches. Now, theologians argue what the rewards will or will not be, but they don't argue that there will be an assessment. And the Lord will not praise such grumbling. The scriptures teach that followers of Jesus will not face God's wrath and judgment. Friend, that is why you need to put your trust in Jesus today. You do not want to face his wrath and his judgment. You say, well, how does that work? His wrath and his judgment was placed upon Jesus on the cross. That's why you ask people, can you tell me about Jesus? So many people tell you, well, he died on the cross for our sins. Well, what does that mean? They go, oh, I don't know. It means he died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross for my sins. But we have to receive that by faith. We have to put our trust in Jesus. So we're not going to face his wrath and his judgment, but there will be an assessment of our lives. He will not praise our grumbling. Instead, the impatient grumbling is against the Lord. How much better to keep our eyes of faith fixed on Jesus? How much better to be people of gratitude, people of love, people of grace? How much better to be ready for that door to open? And when Jesus opens that door, what does he see? He sees a uniter, not a divider. Because grumblers are dividers. The Lord is coming. Be patient. Stand firm. He is near. He is at the door. Wait well. Turn to God. Put your trust in Jesus and follow him. We'll talk more about this next week. But ultimately, this is what you want. When Jesus returns, you don't want to look at him and say, I didn't know you were coming back. You don't want to look at him and say, I didn't believe in you. You want to look at him and say, I am so glad you are here. It was worth every second of the wait. What a wonderful, wonderful day that will be.
Take what you've just heard from Pastor Jim Kevney on Changed by Love and share it with a friend or neighbor. Encouraging words are priceless in today's world. Pastor Jim relies on your prayer and support each day to reach thousands of people just like you. You can also find other ways to team with Changed by Love on our website at changedbyloveradio.org, or you can call 862-217-9686. We are called by His name to change the world, and we are stronger together than we could ever be apart. You and Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Thank you for your support and the time you spend with Changed by Love.